and principles that would help us to live more like God wants us to live if we will follow them. This text this evening is just one of those passages, and we're in Ecclesiastes 3, and this first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 8, you're very well acquainted, most likely, I would think, with this very famous section of Scripture. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We live in a world with order, with design, with structure. God has made all things to work and to work well. And there is indeed a time for every situation we may face in life. And then Solomon, some conclusions that we would all do well to remember in verses 9 through 15. And this is our text for this evening. Verses 9 through 15. He says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no man can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Now that's a lot crammed into one paragraph. I'd like to break this down tonight, over the next few minutes. What is the profit that the worker has from his labors? You know, God has always intended man to work. He gave Adam a job in the garden, and Eve as well, to dress the garden, to keep it. God gave them a job. Then after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, man's work got a lot harder, but it is still work that God was pleased to bless. And God is pleased when we work. So he goes on to say, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. It is so important to work that the Bible goes on to say that if a man will not work, neither let him eat. I mean, that's kind of serious, isn't it? A man that will not provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So working is a very important part of our responsibility in this world and our responsibility toward God and toward our fellow man. We are to work and we are to provide for ourselves and our families. And then it goes on to say that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Youth is fleeting. Can you believe that I used to weigh 160 pounds? I was one good-looking fella, other than my face. I still had the same face, but that I was a good-looking fella. I could run with the best of them. I could play all day. I could work all day. And I used to be just a young man, or as Jyoti Raju used to say, an ing man. I don't know where that boy learned to talk. But anyway, youth is fleeting, isn't it? I'm 63. I'll be 64 years old next month, God willing. 64. I can't believe that. Youth is fleeting. It wasn't that long ago that I was just an ing man, okay? But youth gets away from us, doesn't it? And there's not a thing we can do about it. And the same is true with beauty. Beauty is not permanent. Beauty only lasts so long. You can get needles shoved in your lips and have some of that poison Botox from those puffer fish. You can have those shot in your lips and make them swell up, and you might make yourself a little prettier. And you can get your special hairstyles, and guys, you could get some hair implants and plugs and stuff. And you can have a facelift and a tummy tuck, and you can get your eyebrows sculpted, and you could even, you can even do stuff back here. You can do all kind of stuff to try to make yourself look better. But you can't fix stupid. There's not a surgery for that. There's nothing you can do to fix that. And in spite of it all, it's still going to go back to the dust. It's going to the grave. This body, no matter how well we try to take care of it, no matter how much oat bran we eat, we're still going back to the dust. It's only going to be for a little while. And there is a time for it. But then, as we mature, there are things that become so much more important to us than youth and beauty. And it's only the foolish people, only the foolish who try to hang on to youth and beauty, thinking as though that is the important thing. That is a mark of immaturity and foolishness. We need to realize that there are things in life that are so much more important than the things which are temporary. And then further, he goes on to say, and also he has put eternity in their hearts. We know there's something greater than ourselves. We know that there is order in this universe. We know that there's something beyond this life. How do we know that? Because God has put eternity in our hearts. He has breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God gave us part of himself. A spark of God dwells within each human being. A spark of God. That is that immortal soul that is going to dwell forever. We know we're not done when we leave this world. We can tell it. We can tell it by what we feel about it. One thing that tears people up is the thought that we will not see those that we've buried again. It tears our hearts out. And yet we have hope that beyond this life, there's going to be a resurrection. And the reason we have this hope is because God has revealed to us his will, but also God has put eternity in our hearts. And yet, here's something we can't understand. We don't know how God does the work he does. It says, no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. We cannot know how God works, what God is doing. Try to understand God. Try to get God confined into an Amazon box, okay? Tape him up, put a bow on him, and all this. You can't do it. You cannot comprehend God. He is beyond comprehension, and we're not going to ever understand God's plans about things and how God works, what he does. Why is it that babies die? Why is it that the house burned? Why is it that this factory closed down and all these people lost their jobs? Why did bad things happen like they do? Why do good things happen like they do? God is at work in this world. And so we just have to put our trust in him. That's why faith is so vital to life. We always will have more questions then we have answers. Then, verse 12 and 13. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You work hard to accomplish something, to make something of yourselves. You get an education, you get a good job, you work hard, you save your money, you spend it wisely, you invest carefully, you build a home, you build a family, you build a future for yourself. And God does not begrudge you enjoying your life. He wants you to do so. It is a gift of God. God's the one who blessed you with it. So it is his gift to you. But God does expect you to serve him with whatever he entrusts to you. If you are foolish enough to think that it's all yours and you did it all by yourself and you leave God out of the picture, bless your heart, you're going to lose. But if you will remember God and rejoice in him and thank him for the good that he's given you, for the blessings of your life, and you use those blessings to glorify his name, then God is going to bless you with even more blessings. That's how it works. He expects you to serve him with what you have. Then, verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. You build a house, you work hard, you know, you really build it with the best material, use the best contractors, and you build a strong and sturdy house. An F5 tornado comes by and it can take it apart, can't it? Or a flood can come by and just wash it away. An earthquake can open up the ground and swallow it up, or a fire can burn it down. Nothing that we build lasts forever. It just doesn't. But what God does, it shall be forever. And nothing will be added to it, and nothing taken from it. Man cannot close a door that God opens, nor open a door that God closes. We cannot change what God does. So we must learn to accept it. We must learn to live with it. What God does is right. And God does it so that men should fear before him. Can you untie a knot that God has tied? I think not. Can we change a single word of God's law? Can we alter it so that it is more in line with what we like and want? God is Lord over all. Accept that and submit yourself to him. What else are you going to do, right? I mean, you can try to go the other way. You can try to change things. You can try to adapt God to yourself. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And you're going to end up losing. That's why it's imperative. We just accept that God is Lord. He is in charge. And we must be his humble servants and submit to him in all things. And then the last verse, verse 15. That which is has already been. What does that mean? That which is has already been. And what is to be has already been. Another passage that Solomon stated, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, some of the old timers, I remember Faye's dad used to have these myths, these beliefs that there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new inventions. That if somebody invented an iPhone, well, there was an iPhone back in ancient Egypt. Okay? That they had this all this technology in times past. The city of Atlantis, you know, was even further ahead in technology than we are today and all this stuff. Just these crazy myths. And it stems from this passage and that other one where Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. What that which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. Now what does that mean? Night follows day. Spring follows winter. Death follows life. What is has already been. What is to be has already been. It's not new. Man is the same as he always has been. We have the same temptations, the same tendencies, the same weaknesses, the same strengths. We have faith in God and we have doubt. And in all of these things that we experience are not new. They're not new. This passage is not talking about inventions. It's not talking about medical techniques. It's not talking about bridge construction or even spacecraft. This has nothing to do with what man is able to develop or learn in life. It has to do with the nature of man and the nature of life itself. And that is that there is nothing new. It's the same today as it was back in the days of Moses. There's no difference in people. People are the same. And that which has always been, or that which has been, or that which is, has already been. That which is coming has already been as well. The world is cyclical. We have had ice ages. We have. And we have had droughts. That's right. Now, it doesn't feel like we've had a drought recently with all the rain we've had, but we've had droughts. We have had times when the rain wouldn't stop. We've had times when it was so hot in the summer and so cold in the winter, and then we've had winters like this winter when it hasn't been very cold, and summers like last summer when it got hot, but it didn't get as hot as it has in times past, because what happens now has already happened before. And see, global warming did not come from God. Climate change is not an accurate science, and it is not from God. Because God is saying the world goes in cycles, life goes in cycles, night follows day, the earth orbits around the sun, the moon orbits around the earth, and we are to orbit around God. Night follows day, spring follows winter. Death follows life. You know, man does not change. We can change our attitude. We can change our loyalty. But man still struggles with the same tendencies, the same weaknesses, the same doubts and fears. We can change, like I said, up to a point. But when all is still said and done, we are still just men and women. We're still just people, subject to the same frailties as everyone else. And so, that which has already been, or that which is, has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. God requires an account of how we spent our life and how we spend our life. And so, on the day of judgment, God's going to look at each one of us, and we're going to give an account for the life that we lived and the choices that we've made. God will cause us to give an account of the past. So, the first section tonight, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, there's a time for everything. And then verses 9 through 15, to sum it up, God has put eternity in our heart. We know that He is real. And what God has done cannot be undone. So let's make sure that we commit ourselves to doing His will today and every day that we live, so that hopefully one day, we'll be able to walk in heaven with our loved ones who've gone before, and we'll be able to see our God Himself and worship at His feet. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then please repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized for remission of your sins. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful to Him, you need to rededicate your life to Him. Whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you, then come as we stand and sing.